actually Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 3 through 14, is a song that Paul wrote to give thanks to God for the wonderful blessing that we as a church received in Christ. He describes the many blessings that we received in Christ. But for this morning, I will only use Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, to emphasize one specific blessing Paul describes. Our election in Christ, God's unconceivable election. But before I go into detailed message, maybe I can ask one or two young people to help me. One boy and one girl. How about that? Who wants to come forward? All right. Now, how about one girl? Stuff for me, right? Pick up whatever you like. This one? Are you sure? There's a bunch of pennies here. Come on. Are you sure? Okay. I want to use that as an illustration for you to know actually every day we do our election, we do our choice as well. Okay? So I want to use this just to point out a few things for us to think. Number one, the plan of God's election. In verse 4, it says that even as He chose us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Brothers and sisters, when you look at this verse, Paul talks about us. He means that including Him as an apostle, and all who we are called to be the saints in Christ. In other words, we were chosen by God to become us as the church in Christ. The salvation we have received is initiated by the plan and action of God. It was not designed by any human being, nor by human efforts. So I want to use this and jump down a few points for you to think. Number one is, what does election mean? What does election mean? The term of election is a theological terminology to describe the predestination plan and the chosen action that God performed with His redemptive grace. The word choose identify, you know, Paul, what subject Paul want to talk about, right? And when you read Ephesians book, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 11, you can see so many, you know, words relate to God's election. For it's like he chose, he predestined. The purpose of his will, he set forth and will work all things according to the counsel of his will. Through these verses, you can easily sense that chosen and the subject of election is the main theme that Paul wants to address here to emphasize God's sovereignty. His chosen action in accordance to his own purpose. So if we look at the link in the Bible, God did choose many people for his own purpose. And let me just give you a couple of examples. For instance, God chose Abraham to establish a nation for his chosen people. God also chose Moses as the leader to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and into his promised land. And the people of Israelites were his chosen nation in the world, in the Old Testament. Likewise, in the New Testament, we see how Jesus chose Paul and other, you know, disciples. And particularly Paul was chosen and sent to the Gentiles. We Christians were chosen to be called the children of God. The other point here, Paul says, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. When we read this verse, it doesn't say that we existed before the world was created. Instead, it indirectly proves us that our Lord Jesus Christ existed before the foundation of the world. The point here is that this plan of election did not form out of human thinking or design. This plan was created and planned even before we are human beings ever existed. The action of election came from our God, whose love is unthinkable, unfathomable, and totally beyond our imagination. We, as human beings, have no part in this mysterious yet wonderful plan. The other point I want to make here is that we were chosen in Christ. We were chosen in Christ because the verse 5, it says, even as he chose us in him, we are chosen in him. Through this verse, we also know that the plan of the election was fulfilled in Christ himself. Only those who are in Christ are chosen. Only those people are in Christ are chosen. So we see the blessings that Christians receive are closely related on the relationship we have in Christ or with Christ. This kind of relationship is a must. As the apostle also indicated in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Here it says, now the promise were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, to only one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. That's that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So let me ask you, who are the Gentiles? Who are the Gentiles? We are, right? But because we are in Christ, we can receive the blessing of Abraham just as the people of Israel have. For that, we praise the Lord. Here is the link. God loves and chooses us because He loves Christ. As Apostle John wrote in John 17, verse 23 to 24, can you all read together for me? Thank you. I in them, John says very clearly, you send Christ and love all believers, even as you loved Christ. So, this is very important. You can only receive God's love in Christ. No other name that we can trust. Every time when we talk about God's election, a subject always, surfaced among believers or theologians. So if you ever study in systematic theology in seminary, there is always a great discussion about the tension between God's predestination or election and human's free will. This is also known as the Calvinism versus Arminianism debate. But this morning, I want to let you know, after four centuries of debate among theologians, there is still no consensus. While Calvinism holds the view that God has His absolute sovereignty, they also recognize that man is responsible for his disbelief in God and his rejecting of the gospel. Likewise, for Arminianism, they strongly believe that human beings have their own free will to choose to believe or not believe. At the same time, they cannot deny that God can predict who will accept the gospel and who will not. Much like Jesus foresaw that Judas would betray him before it happened. So, how do we solve this dilemma? Is predestination right, or is it free will? I need to be honest with you. I can't answer that for you. My opinion is that we need to be humble before God and admit that we lack the wisdom to discern all of God's plan. In fact, those truths are all revealed in the Bible. We can only humble ourselves and rely on His revealed revelation so that we may have faith to accept and follow what He reveals to us through His Holy Word. By doing so, we may discern the mystery of His kingdom and His will. Yes, we lack wisdom, but our God is full of wisdom. If we truly depend on His wisdom by God's grace, we can discern His mystery. It may not be in its entirety, but His grace is always sufficient for us to understand His plan and His will. if we push too hard in trying to understand the mystery of election and free will by our own intelligence and reasoning, I feel it can cause more harm than good. All the time, human intelligence is not helpful in uncovering this kind of mystery. Despite the time and energy spent, nothing is gained as a result. Once upon a time, there was an old woman who, along with her granddaughter, tried to catch a train full of passengers. Because it was so crowded, many people, including the old lady and her granddaughter, couldn't find seats to sit down. After a little while, the train stopped at the next station, and many people got off the train. A young man immediately took one empty seat and courteously invited the old lady to sit down. But the old lady politely refused to take the seat. No, yes, I insist, the young man said. Thank you, but I don't need it. Please sit down. It is good for you. After going back and forth several times, eventually the train doors closed and start to move again. Then the old lady said to her granddaughter, Emily, guess what? The station we just stopped and passed was where we needed to get off. This poor young man, despite his enthusiasm and good intentions, ultimately knew nothing about the will and mind of that old lady. So, brothers and sisters, while our intelligence and curiosity may cause debate on which view is better, Calvinism or Arminianism, but one thing is deserving of you and I attention. While Paul uses a lot of terms related to predestination or God's will, his intention here was never to provide us with the materials for us to debate. Instead, he purposefully leads us to adoration and praise for God's wonderful plan of salvation for all of us as sinners. Because we were chosen by God's will and grace, we should bring our thankfulness and glory to God and Him alone. So I would like to spend the rest of time to talk about the purpose of God's election. Number one, God chose us to be holy and blameless. If you remember when we had a combined service, I mentioned that we are all saints, right? We are chosen to be the saints. And we are saints. Saints means what? Means holy. Holy ones. So therefore, we have to live in a way that is fit for such status, as Paul describes in verse 4, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Therefore, to be called a saint is not just a name or title. It is a lifestyle we live. But the question is, how can we as sinners live a holy life in this world? We still have our own sinful nature. And we know we continue to commit sins even after proclaiming you are right. We cannot be holy by our own strength and effort. But as Paul says here, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. In love. By God's grace and in His love, we can pursue a life of holiness. We can start our life journey toward holiness before God by God's mercy and help. We can depart from our corrupted mind, sinful habits, and wicked behaviors to the life of pursuing purity, righteousness, and holiness, holiness in God's love. Secondly, God chose us to be adopted as sons. In verse 5, Paul says, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. The term of adoption explains a kind of relationship that God loves to establish between Himself and all who has chosen to be His sons and daughters. When we say someone is adopted, that means that he or she was not someone's son and daughter before. But through the process of adoption, he or she became that one's son or daughter. Same thing here. We were sinners and had no part in God's family. But because He has chosen us in Christ, we were adopted, and God became our Father in heaven. That's why we call Him Abba, Father, Abba Father. So God chose us as His purpose to fulfill the purpose of His will. In the second half of verse 5, Paul states, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. God has designed and planned for us to fulfill His purpose and will. He used His own will to choose us among others and to separate us to live a life different from secular world. So we may have many questions. Why does God choose some but not others? Is God supposedly treating people equally, fairly? Again, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that God chose us by His own will to fulfill His purpose. And we should be thankful and give Him the honor and glory. There's a lady, Joyce Adoree, a member of Southern Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. She traveled to an orphanage in Ukraine. And it was there that she saw 2-year-old Kristen. She was abandoned by her biological parents since she has a facial tumor, which was seen as a bad luck to the family. Her mother took her to an orphanage and abandoned her, then walked away and never looked back. Joyce adopted her, and then later she said, I could have taken any of the children I saw home with me. At the same time, I knew if I adopted Kristen, she had born a new start. She had a new life. Dorothy chose Kristen in November 2004. A Louisville surgeon removed the tumor from her face. When scars are healing, then everything about Kristen has just want to ask you, guys a question. When you hear this story, how do you feel about the mother who adopted Kristen? How do you feel about her? Do you criticize her for only choosing Kristen, but not the other kids in the orphanage? Will you do that? I don't think so. Right? Instead, our hearts are moved by her loving act. Yes, it is her choice. And her choice is out of her love. Brothers and sisters, in a similar way, while we were still unlovable, our Heavenly Father chose us, adopted us, and gave us new life in His Son. Owe Him is to love Him back and give Him our thankfulness because He has chosen and adopted us as His Son. So, at the end, why God chose us to be His Son is to praise of His glorious grace. If we receive a fun gift or a birthday card from our friends and relatives, what would we do and say, tell me, what? If you receive a gift or a birthday card from your relative or friend, what would you say? Huh? Thank you. Hey, by the way, for those who we just received my candy, did they say thank you? I'm just kidding, okay. But, you know, I think, you know, in common sense, right, we will show our appreciation, perhaps return a thank you note to express our gratitude. But now you know that God has designed an unconceivable redemption plan and has chosen us to be His sons and daughters. What can we do in return? For His love and grace. Can you think of anything? My answer is absolutely nothing. We don't have anything to return to God. We don't have anything to offer, as the Bible says to us. Okay? You help me to read that passage, okay? All right. Acts 17:24-25. The God. Sisters, we are different from God. God is the creator. We are created. He is the provider and giver. We are the takers and receivers. God lacks for nothing. He is the one who created heavens and earth. He doesn't need our oxen and lambs. He doesn't need your money or any forms of contribution. But in God's design, He intentionally designed to receive His own glory through us who have received His saving grace and blessings. Not because we have anything to offer, but indeed weak, humble, and incapable. But because God, through our adoration, God's name is glorified, and His name is worthy to be blessed and praised. As the apostle addressed, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And if you believe that, I think And help us to understand this mystery of God's kingdom. Yes, we may not fully comprehend why God chose us and why others do not receive your redemptive plan. But we can only know that you love us so much that you even sacrificed your life on the cross for us. And thank you for revealing your chosen love to us. Father, we know we are not worthy, but you have already given us such an honor to be your sons and daughters. May you help us so that we can live the lives that fit you.